Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Eretz HaKadesh, is daf, this sounds bad. Samach Vav, that means we won't have another daf in Nazir. Oy vey. We could start adding. We can have our own. We've done so much wonderful work. Why can't we just keep going? How can we leave Nazir behind? Oh, dear me. Okay, we'll do our best. Anyway, on the suggestion of 007 over there, Alon, we actually decided to only get up to the Mishnah so that we could have a little bit more Yishuv Hadas in this confusing sugya. So we're going to start our Halakha Mishnah, which is the bottom Mishnah on Samachei Amid Beit. But I wanted to give you an introduction to some of the, this is a pun, Barnea, some of the issues that we'll be talking about. And the question over here is like this. Remember that there are three dargas of the dinim of zivot. First of all, just to remind you that zivot is not semen. Zivot is prostate fluid of a different consistency and is easily distinguishable from semen. And therefore, we need to be able to deal with the combination of the two issues. What the Mishnah is going to be talking about, as we'll see. But let's first talk about zivas. So we have the din of a zav, which is repeated. The word zivas is repeated three times, which teaches us that the halacha of a zav, who is a zav gadol by a male, requires three separate re'iyos on 3 days in order to be tamei to the extent that he has to be a mechusar kippurim and bring karbonos after keeping 7 days of tahara, in which there are no re'iyos of ziva, and then he becomes tahar. And then he's able to eat kashrim after he brings his karbonot. If he only saw two, the Torah says twice ziva and again uses the word tamei, then there's a din of shivas yomim, but there's no din of korbanos, so he needs to keep shiva nekiyim. If he sees only one re'iyah of zivais, then he has a halacha of being exactly the same as if he was just a normal balkari, and he would just be tamei ad ha'erev, and we do not distinguish between zivais and keri in those circumstances. Now, the point is, however, that when it comes to zivos, the Torah uses the word mibisaro. And mibisaro, we understand that mibisaro means naturally, that this is something that we cannot find any particular stimulus that causes this zivos. If there was some type of stimulus, then the Mishnah is about to discuss what type of stimuli we're talking about, but then we're about to discuss the idea of machmat bisaro. So we have to check to make sure that there were no stimuli. If there were stimuli, then there's no tumah of zivais. Now, there's also a question about which re'iyah are we talking about? Because if the first re'iyah was a re'iyah that was traceable back to stimulus, it wouldn't have any difference because we're treating the first re'iyah as a normal re'iyah of keri. And therefore, there would be no difference in the first time. And he would still be a Zav, but he's called a Zav Katan. But when it comes to deciding whether he is a Zav, that is a Zav Gadol, who requires Shiva Nekiyim, or whether he is literally a Zav Gadol who requires a actual Korban, that's after three times, then to become Chayev in that, there has to be two actual Re'iyas that did not have any stimulus, and then we wouldn't even include the first one towards that, and then he could have the third re'iyah, which would be a re'iyah, even if there were other types of stimuli. Okay, is that clear? The first re'iyah is tameh. The second re'iyah will still be tameh, but in order to count towards Ziva's Gedela, it cannot have any kind of external stimulus the first two times that define him as being chayev and shivat nekiyim. Then the third time, he could be, we'll see this in Machlokas really, because there's also a question of the fourth time. What would be the issue with the fourth time? The problem with the fourth time would be that if he's in the middle of keeping Shivas Nikiyim, so then if he's Roya during, even at the last day, he's Roya again, he's Soyser the entire Shivas Nikiyim, and he has to start counting his 7 days again. Now, this is, of course, in contradistinction to a female, where female Zivas is actually the same type of discharge, because it's a bloody discharge, and it's not the same as the idea of being able to actually look at the material and decide whether it's semen or whether it's just prostate fluid, unmixed with sperm, and so on. And so because of that, there's a completely different din over there. There, it's not dependent in the actual a number of separate re'iyas that she has. It has to do with the question of how many days that we have, what days. Remember, we have 11 days between the normal re'iya and of nidais. So a normal menses, we count for 7 days, and then after that, continued bleeding. If she has three re'iyas in those 11 days, on any of those days, she's going to become a zova, and has nothing to do with stimulus. So the reason I'm mentioning the female is because we're going to see that we learn one of the dinim of the male zov from its comparison to females. It's important to know this halacha as well. So now the Mishnah wants to tell us what we need to look at in order to determine whether a re'iya of zivais, those first two times, whether they count towards the third time or whether they were caused by stimulus. So b'shiv'a drachim bodkin et hazav. So we're going to check seven things before we're going to define him as actually being a zav gadol. Achelo niskak leziva. So once he was already, why do we say achelo niskak? Because once he was already niskak leziva, so then we'll see that at that point, the third re'iya, the fourth re'iya, is going to be considered to be zivais, even if we can have a reason to attribute it to, a stimulus to attribute it to. And so if we're not at that point yet, then we need to check b'shiva drachim. So first of all, we check ma'achal u'mishteh. There are certain types of foods that are particularly rich foods. Barnea could tell us all about rich foods and all types of omega levels and so on and so forth. This is a great sugya for Barnea to pontificate on. This is even when he's not visiting Rome. So over here we talk about things like heavy-duty meats and cheese or old wine and so on. So those things are considered to be stimuli. And having a lot to drink also, even if it isn't old wine, can also create a situation in which the prostate will emit fluid, which is not considered to be zivas. It's not pathological. So we have ma'achal u'mishteh. Somebody's carrying something very heavy, can also put pressure on the prostate. Bekvitza, somebody jumped and was doing like heavy-duty exercise. There's choli, even illness could cause all types of malfunctioning. Ubimar'eh ubihirhur. Furthermore, any type of sexual stimulus, so this could be either he saw something sexually stimulating, doesn't matter whether he thought about it or not, ubihirhur, or just fantasizing could also cause a re'iya of zivais. We're not talking about over here carry, but even a re'iya of zivais can be caused by that type of stimulus. Mishin iskak leziva ein bot kinoto. However, once he's already in a matzav of zivas, which he had two re'iyas of zivas, which we didn't find any ones, these stimuli are called ones, v'lo machmas onso. So then he is considered, of course, these have to be one, two re'iyas on 1, 2 days. They need to be one day after the other. Because remember, by the woman, the day is not important, but except for timing. But by the male, the day is important. So you have to have a re'iya. He had this re'iya without there being a day between them. So once he was niskak leziva, then if there's any further re'iyas for the third re'iya, or if he was already counting yeshivas nikiyim, so for a fourth re'iya, so then we don't care And we don't bother checking him because the din of machmas onso is only said for the first two. And afterwards, any re'iyah of zivas is considered enough either to be seitzer shivas nekiyim or to be mechayavim a korban. Okay, so once we get that clear, then the problems here will be much easier to understand. And it's great to have these halachas clear in your head because they come up all the time throughout just about every mesech. We're going to have some issue of zivas. So now, once he is misha niskak leziva, ein about kimoto. And therefore, now this is very unclear what this means, and therefore, even onso, even sveiko, and even shichvat zaro are tameim. And now we're back again on the raglayim ladova, meaning that once we've established over here that we have a zivais, so then the point is that we no longer need to look because we are already sensitive to the inyanim of zivais and now assume things to be machmas zov. Now these, exactly what these mean, onso, sveiko, v'shichvat zaro, seems extremely weird. I mean, onso, I understand, that's what we've been talking about. Sveiko, or shichvat zaro? And I said, what would we think? That a zov's semen is less than a normal person's semen? I don't understand what that means. So Gemara is going to ask those questions. We'll see what that means. And there's also another issue of raglayim ladava. And here we get close to the standard meaning of raglayim ladava, in which if hamaker chaveiro, let's say that somebody attacks and causes a wound, and this guy is taken into emergency care, and they think that he's beyond hope. Amadu lemita, this was viewed as a mortal wound, and they were going to, they keep, remember that we keep this guy in jail until we see if the victim recovers. And somehow, hekel mimashaya, all of a sudden he starts improving, the doctors are amazed, this is wonderful, this guy is going to make it. All of a sudden, he gets worse. So now, I mean, he got worse. He could have gotten worse because he got an infection or something, right? I mean, there's no reason for us to have to assume that if it wouldn't be for some additional pathogen or something, that he would have gotten worse. Nonetheless, even though he was improving in the middle, but if liachakanichvidu mate, according to the Tanakama, he's chayev, and we'll kill the murderer, because we view him as a murderer. Masha Einkein, Rabbi Nechemia says, no, he's putter in this case, because if it was really directly because of his attack, how do you explain the fact that he was getting better and all of a sudden took a turn for the worse? The taking the turn for the worse implies that there are indicates that there was some type of change, not in the condition of how he was getting better, but in something that caused a change, like he got an infection of some kind, right? But normally, if you're on a path towards recovery, we would assume that you would have recovered if there weren't some other thing to be tailor it on. You see how this is part of the same idea. Can we be tailor the condition on external factors? So it relates not only to the concept of raglayim ladava, but relates to the idea of how do we attribute these types of prostate situations to, how do we attribute a response to an attack? Okay, so now the Gemara says, look, you see clearly that there's this magical halacha. The Torah is somehow, I don't know where we get this from, is telling us that even though we darshan the pasuk of zav bisaro, as meaning that the ziva has to be machmat bisaro, meaning that it's just part of something that happened and not an external factor. Yet when it comes to the third re'iyah, we do not need to check external stimuli. How do we know that? You know what I mean? It seems an extremely esoteric, like picking a rabbit out of a hat here. Amar Rebbe Dasa, not at all. Because when the Torah lists all of the repetitious, it uses the word zov, so many times. And that's how we learn out the din of the number of re'iyos and so on. So there's also a sum up. And the sum up is the Zotor Atazav and so on. Va'azav et zovo la'zachar v'lanekeva. It's a little bit strange because Azav et zovo is very different for Zachar and for Nekeva. And Azav et zovo, well, I mean, why repeat Zav et zovo? What's wrong with the Azav? Azachar and Nekeva. So we learn this to mean that this is a reference to three separate Rias, Zav, Zovo, and Zachar. So the Zav, Zovo is two Rias, and suddenly when it comes to the third Ria, we don't want to compare it to Zav, meaning to the Lashon of Ziva, we want to compare it to the common denominator between male and female mishaps, genital mishaps, or reproductive mishaps, really, we should say, then in which there's some type of non-normal hormonal control, and therefore we put it together with the Zachar and the Keva. Putting it together means that we want to treat the male the same way we treat the female. And since in the female there's no difference if we could find stimuli or not, therefore on this third time after Zav 1, Zovo 2, the third one is the same for Zachar and the Keva. And because of that, we get the idea that we do not need to have machmat misoro, and it could be even machmat onso. Yes, the Gemara, so then what do you do with the Braita? The Braita says that Rabbi Yezer Omer, Bishlishit bot kinota, we do need to do a bedika on the third. It's only on the fourth meaning if it comes after he started counting Yeshivas Nikiyim, then we have to be metameim, and he's soser for sure, and it doesn't matter. So if we're learning it from a pasuk, how does Rabbi Eliezer do the pasuk? Ah, the nafkamina, machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer is whether the word et counts. So we have zav et zovo. So if you're derish etim, like Rabbi Eliezer is normally, so then you get one additional re'iyah. Zav is one, et is two, zovo is three. And then Lazachar v'lenekeva means that the fourth re'iyah, which is soser shivas nekiyim, that fourth re'iyah is actually going to be soser, whether or not it was machmat onso. Mashenke and the Tanakama, who are not derish, seem to add an additional re'iyah, so they read it, zov 1, zovo 2, and then Lazachar v'lenekeva, number 3, does not need any type of bedika, botkinet hazav. Rabbanan lo darshe es. Okay, so that part's clear. Now, what about the end of the Mishnah that was talking about that the onso, sveiko, shechvat zaro? I understand that. What does that mean, sveiko? How did this get into sveiko? I thought that's the idea, that if it's machmas onso, there's no suffix. Omar Rava, don't think that what the Mishnah tries to talk about over here is where we have a suffix whether or not the Zov was Roya the third time. And that's what it's referring to. And say that we're talking about over there, that suffix chaza, suffix lo chaza, that means he's suffix. No, we're talking about where he was vadai chaza. The issue over here is that he's tamei misafek, not if we're not sure if he saw. He definitely was roya zivais, but we are not sure whether or not this was zivais that was mixed with semen or not. So in other words, let's say the case would be over here, this guy who's trying to keep track of his re'iyos, because he wants to know what his din is, agabe tuma. So he's wearing these light pajamas to make sure that if there's any discharges, he finds them. And he finds, indeed, that there are stains on his pajamas. One of those stains is definitely semen. And so he must have had a wet dream. The other is a stain of zivais. And the Gemara Nida tells us how to distinguish those stains. So because there's a different thickness to prostate fluid. Okay, so now the question is this. Was this a mixture of zivas with shechvat zera? If it was a mixture, so then the halacha is that, and this is a gzeras hakasev that the Gemara talks about, is that if you have a mixture of a re'iyah of keri plus zivas during shivas nekiyim, even though there was zivas there, it's seiser only one day. Masha ein kein, if you're talking about a case where it was pure zivas, it would be seiser the entire day, the entire shivas nekiyim. So in this case, what we're talking about over here is not that there's a question of whether he was Raya, but there was a question of precisely what he was Raya. And what it's saying over there, that since we know that he's had a Re'iyah of Zivas not mixed with Shech Vazera until now, so Raglayim Ladavar, that this is going to be Metame. Okay. This is now the first suffix that we're talking about. Now the last thing that we had in the Mishnah, which didn't make any sense at all, is that Shechvat Zaro is Tameh. I mean, that seems to be the most obvious thing in the world. I mean, just because somebody is a Zav, why in the world would we say that Shechvat Zaro is Tar? I mean, says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Lamaga? Meaning that if somebody touches the semen, so he becomes Tameh? I mean, well, why not? Well, how is he going to be less Tameh than a normal person who's not a Zav, who's also Shechvat Zera is Betame? Mi garami Shechvat Zera de Tahor? Is he going to be any different than a person who is Tahor? Ela, what the Mishnah is telling us a big Chiddush, that we're talking about a different level of Tumah. What's the different level of Tumah? That Zaro shel Zav is Betame not only Bemaga, but it's Betame Bemasa. That's the Chiddush. So even if someone did not come into contact with the actual semen, he would still be Tomei if it was carried. And that is a special din. Dafka when it comes to Zav. Wait a second over here. I never heard about that. Who says that? Man shamat la di omar, shechvat zara shel Zav metami b'masa. Explain to me who that man di omar is, because I only know of two shitot, and neither of them agree with that. Let's take a look at the Braita. Ilema Haitana, which is Rabbi Yeshua in the Braita. Titanya Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Shechvat Zaro Shozav, Eino Metami Bemasa. That you should not think such a thing. This is obviously not going Aliba Rabbi Eliezer. He disagrees totally and openly that Shechvat Zaro Shozav is not Metami. Rabbi Yeshua Oimer, you think it's Rabbi Yeshua? Well, look closely. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Metame B'masa. But then he explains why it's Metame B'masa. The point over here is that ejaculate has got to contain also whatever prostate fluid had been there besides the normal ejaculate. And therefore, you're not going to have such a case in which you could separate out the semen from whatever prostate fluid is part of the zivas. It's all going to mix together, and therefore there's going to be some zivas once he's already been leaking zivas. So how is he going to avoid getting some tzichtzuche ziva? And that tzichtzuche ziva, even a small amount of zivas, is going to be metame. So therefore it's metame b'masa. But that's not what the Mishnah says. Well, our Mishnah just said is that this is, if you can get pure semen out of a zav, it will be metame, it says here. Well, nobody holds that. Even Rabbi Yeshua says, it's only metame because you cannot get a pure sample, that's all. But theoretically, if the bishop says that Shechvat Zaro is metame b'masa, neither Rabbi Eliezer nor Rabbi Yeshua holds that. So that's not good. So who's the man di omar? You see, says the Gemara, Afilo Rabbi Yeshua, who agrees that it's Tame, he says the only reason that it's Tame is Mishum Tzichtzuche Ziva Avo Be'enei Lo Amar. He never said that a pure sample of semen from a Zav would be Metame. He says clearly not like that. So therefore, he cannot be the author of our Mishnah Shita. So tell me where you get this from. Elomer avada baravam. The idea over here is not what you think. It's not that it's coming to tell me that pure shechva zera avazav would be metami b'masa. It's talking about something else entirely. And when it says shechvat zaro is tamei, is talking about the case that normally, if somebody is roya zivas, within 24 hours of ejaculation, it's not considered to be zivas at all. And there, this is also, by the way, one of the reasons that you don't test for levels of prostate problem issues within 24 hours of ejaculation. So because of that, even when you're talking about a blood test, you're going to recognize that it's going to change the levels of response in your prostate analysis in the blood. So because of that, within 24 hours, it's an amazing thing. The Gemara is actually aware of exactly the same issue. So within 24 hours of ejaculation, there is not going to be a din of zivites. But what the Mishnah is trying to say is that in the case where he already was established as a zav, so then even if he's roya zivites after ejaculation, it's still considered to be zivites. That's the chiddush. And therefore, these last three cases are indeed special new dinim that have to do with the case of having already established the din of a zav. So sover of papa kameda rava lemeimar. Now, if papa thought that the point over here is because aide chulshahu dechasi, that the changes in the likelihood of prostate fluid and not having it due to the din of zav is for the same reason that we check the zav for all of those other issues, because we view the ejaculation to actually cause the zivas. And for different reason, not because of stimulus, but because of weakening. In other words, once already there's been an ejaculation, so then there's likely to be additional fluid. And that's because you no longer have the same level of control because you've loosened the prostate fluid. So aide chulsha, because you're weaker, therefore that is the reason that he was chaza. And therefore, once he's known to be a Zav, so why should we attribute it the same way we don't attribute the third Re'iyah of the Zav? We don't attribute it to any of the Onsi. That's what Rav Papa thought. And he said his Makshava, that this explains it, he said this to Rava. And Rava sent to him that that's ridiculous. Because in the Mishnah, in Masechet Zavim itself, you have an amazing idea that a ger who became a Jew and he comes out of the mikvah, he can immediately be a zav. What? Yes. Is there anything more disastrous to a person's well-being than becoming a Jew? If this guy went through the absolute horror of actually becoming a Jew, oh my God. So now his entire mentality is ruined. Forget about prostate control. There's no bigger problem in the world than that, right? So immediately he's accepted upon himself all of the tzoras of being a Jew. The guy is completely broken into pieces. So for sure, we should, if it's a question of weakness, I mean, this guy's going to need a couple of years to recover at the spa, you know? So obviously, he shouldn't be metame b'ziva. And yet, it says Beferish in the Mishnah that he is Matame Beziva. So we see that this idea of weakness is not the point. So Rav understood that the idea was not that it's prostate weakness, but that it's general weakness. There's no such thing. Unbelievable. So therefore, that can't be the reason. It has to be Bedavka, a new idea at all. And it's coming from the Xeris HaKosov itself. Okay, so if that's the case, he's saying it's not all a question of what is logical. It's a question of Xeris HaKosov. Okay, so then that would be the way that we understand everything, and we would not agree to the way we just explained the Mishnah, Libra Rav Ada, and we would go back to the way we understood the Mishnah, that indeed the Chiddush of the Mishnah is not that once we've established he's a Zov, so then we're going to tell us that the Shikva Zaro is not stimulus to it. No, it means what we thought, that it's not going to be like normal Shikva Zera. There's a new din of Tumas Masa on the Shikva Zera of a Zav. So you said, says Rava, you said there's no such Tana. There is such a Tana, and I'll explain to you who it is. Elatanoihi. This Mishnah is going according to the following Tanoim. The Tanya, Shikva Zara shel Zov mitame b'masa kol me'et le'et. Amazing. So this is a brand new Chiddush, that there is a 24-hour period during which the Shikva Zara of a Zov, even if it's a pure sample, would be mitame b'masa for 24 hours. Rabbi Yossi says, wait, what's this 24 hours, Jazz? The deal is always that Shikva Zera is metame only till the night, right? So why is this? How do you get 24 hours? Okay, but anyway, both Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama agree that there is indeed a new halacha of Shikva Zera Shel Zav, which is different than normal Shikva Zera, and therefore we can explain the Mishnah as going aliba either of these Tanoim. That would be the pshat. So where exactly does this come from? So now, I must tell you that the Lashon in the Gemara is not doing a very good job of being masbir what the diuk is in the pasuk. Let's read it in the Gemara, and then we'll see that it doesn't really seem to add up very beautifully. And we'll take a look at what the Rosh says and how he explains it. So now the diuk is from the following. That is b'mayka miflegit. So the machlokus between the shitas over here of whether it's metame for 24 hours or metame till the end of the day, that is dependent in Shmuel. What is that? The Shmuel Rami. The Shmuel points out what appears to be a contradiction in the pasuk. And here you'll see it's very difficult to make out what exactly the contradiction is, but it says ki yebecha ish asher lo yeh tahor mikre laila v'yatzal mechutz l'machane, and so on and so forth. Okay, so the lo yeh tahor mikre laila on the one hand, and on the other hand it says lifnot erev yirchatz b'mayim. How do you explain that? How do you explain what? There doesn't seem to be much of a problem here that needs all that explanation, right? Okay, so we'll read the Rush, and we'll see what he sees is the real problem over here. So what is the answer to the contradiction? So man diyamah mi'eit le'eit is being medayik from lifnot erev. Lifnot erev yirchatz b'mayim. And the other man diyamah is medayik from Mikra Laila, which means that there's an additional period. Let's take a look at the Rush. So the Rush understands it like this. Ksiv ish asher lo yeh tahar Mikra Laila, which is mashma. Here's how the Rush understands. It's very different than the other Rishonim, but it's a beautiful way of reading it. So when it says asher lo yeh tahar, it's mashma that he has some other problem that is making him tame, besides the standard problem of mikra. So he's going to be lo yeh tahor from something or other that is like mikra, right? Okay, what would that be? Well, the only thing that is similar is zivos. As a matter of fact, most people don't even know the difference between zivos and keri. They think it's all part of the same thing, even though it's totally unrelated on that level. But since the Pusik puts this other tumah, some other tumah that the Pusik is intimating and not telling us what it is, but he's lo yeh tahor. So, okay, so that must be that we're talking about my new ziva. And then it says, but it's a mikra. But if it's a mikra, then it's referring to Shikva Zera. So what does this mean? So it's got to be talking about that he was not tahor because he was a zav, and then he is roya keri after being a zav, and it throws in the word lila. Well, obviously, I mean, lila isn't important, so why throw in the word lila over here? So we're not learning, according to this, that the stira in the pasuk is from that we're meant to read the pasuk, which we'll see as those who argue on Shmuel, that the word mikra lila is just another way of saying had a wet dream, right? And that's the way the Torah refers to Keri. Because, I mean, who cares how and why he was Raya Keri? Why would the pasuk mention lila? So therefore, the lila is extra to tell me that after being Raya Zivais, we're still going to give the din of Keri the din of Ziva. That is to say, that it would be Metame B'masa. Whereas the Tanakhama says, it says Lifnot Erev, meaning Ad Sheyifaneh Hayom, which is at the end of that entire period, there's a din of Ziva to the Keri of Azov. So the question is whether we've got the first Lila and then another Lifnot Erev, or whether Mikra Lila is all basically one word, and therefore doesn't come to add anything at all to the way that we understand it. That's the machloket. Okay, so because of that, the question is, do you hold of Shmuel, or don't you hold of Shmuel? That's going to make the difference.
You're also reading Yom as a whole period instead of a day, right? You have to make that adjustment also.
Right?
You have to read, if I understood correctly, reading Yom as the entire period and not just one day, right? That's a different reading of Yom, the way Rebbe just explained it.
I don't know what you're... Which Yom are you referring to?
Rebbe just used the words, and so the Yom means the entire period. That's what I heard Rebbe say.
No, I don't recall ever saying like that. The Lila plus an additional Lifnot Erev implies that you have a first Lila, and then you have a second Lifnot Erev towards the evening of the next day. What would determine that? Whenever the Re'iyah was. I don't know what you're referring to at all, but...
Okay.
Yeah. Now we're just darshaning Mikra Lila and Lifnot Erev. Is what we're darshaning. So Mandi Omami 8 La 8. So if we're looking at the words... He lifnot erev. So he's darshaning the lifnot erev as an additional erev. Masha Einkein, if you say that it's only until the night, like Rabbi Yossi, like any other, which is Yomo, he's darshaning from the normal din of the normal din of Keri in terms of lifnot erev. Sorry, where am I? Mani Mayes lifnot erev. And he's darshing for the word mikra lila, so that we have the normal din of lila being the end. And what is the mandi omer lifnot erev? Doesn't he need the mikra lila? No, he says. The mikra lila is simply the way that the Torah always refers to a wet dream. And it's urche de keri lamatya b'lila. Normally, when we have a tum of shechlat zera, it's at the night, that's all. But it doesn't necessarily mean anything about the lila at all. Whoa. Man, oh man. Gavi, you're killing me, man. Anyway, just please tell Choni Amagel that we know who he is and we don't forget him. Even though everybody in the Beis HaMedrash refused to believe him, we believe him 100%. We're looking
anyway,
at...
I'm also in Tzfat.
Oh.
Far away from Gavi.
Okay. Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Fine. Okay, we're up to our dear Capitan, who seems to have made a change in venue. And I'm assuming that that's because our Capitan wants to join us for matzah baking today.
I'd love to, but I'm just...
Together with the big N, he's like ready, he's ready to go. Does it may not be Tanzania, but you know, it's still matzah. But why can't they repair it, for heaven's sakes? Look what a mess they've made. Ah, heaven's sakes. Anyway, that's the Tzion of Choni Amagel. who deserves better. Although Ma'aseh Yadayim of Tzadikim are a better tzion. Excellent, excellent. I'm getting the view from all around, Barnea on the one hand, Gavi on the other hand. Difficult to concentrate. Okay, tell us, dear Capitan. Nazir Hayash Muel, Kedivri Rabbi Nuhuroi. So according to Rabbi Nuhuroi, if somebody says, Hareni Kishmuel Haramati, so such a person is a Nazir. Shenemar, because in the Tefillah of Chana, when she makes this neder, Vatidor neder Vatomar, Hashem Tzvakot, Imro'o Tireh Ba'oni Amatecha, Uzechartani, ולא תשכח את עמתך, ונתת לעמתך זרע אנשים, ונתתיו להשם כל ימי חייו, ומורה לא יעלה על ראשו. So we're assuming that מורה לא יעלה על ראשו means that he's a Nazir, and you can't shave his hair. Look, we know that Shimshon was a Nazir, and the Malach used the same language. He said, "Ki inach hara v'yoladet ben umora lo yale al rosho ki nazir Elohim yianar." So that makes it very clear, right? A mora will not get on his head because he is a nazir. Okay, so I understand why are we arguing about this? Says Beferish. So he's definitely a nazir as far as I can see it. Just like the mora ha'amura b'shimshon is a reference to nazirut. Af Morah Amura B'Shmuel is a reference to Nazirut. Now, that certainly seems to be an extremely reasonable diyuk. Amar Rabbi Yossi, no. Havalo Ein Morah Elashel Boser V'Dam. You're not reading that right. Chana is not making commitments that he is going to be a Nazir. Read it properly. What the Pasuk is saying is that Chana is being mevakeshet for a child, right? So she's saying, "V'natata la'amatecha zera anashim." And what do I pray for the zera anashim? That mora lo yale al rosho, that he should never fear anyone. Because since I'm asking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give me a child who is zera anashim means that he's a balance. He's not going to be one of these crazy guys like Shimshon. But Shimshon, he didn't have to worry about anybody. He could knock off 1,000 people at one time, right? But I would like a child who's going to be balanced. Zera Anashim, that's what the Gemara darshens. Yeah, I just want a normal child. Don't give me any of these nutsos, you know? But, I mean, if he's going to be a normal child, then that makes him a nerd. Then he's going to be threatened by people all the time. So therefore, I'm asking you that Mora lo yale rosho, he should never fear people. He should never be bullied. That's what she's saying. A very beautiful tefillah of a mother who wants a balanced, normal child. So isn't that a great tefillah? But I mean, to compare it to the Shimshon, it's exactly the opposite. That's what she doesn't want. So therefore, the mora is in this sense. Omar le Rabbi Noray, let me ask you something. If the one thing that Chana, according to you, is supposedly asking of the Lord, is that he should not suffer the terror of people that are going to be threatening him. But how do you explain that he did? You don't think that Chana's tefillah would be answered at least? I mean, we're not going to expose that she asked and that it wasn't answered. I mean, it says beferish that Shmuel was a scaredy cat. Because he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how am I supposed to go and be Mosheach et David? If Shaul finds out about this, I'm dead. I thought he wasn't supposed to be afraid of people. So he says, Beferish, Eich elech v'shama Shaul v'hargeni. So you see, Kvar haya lav mora shel baser v'dam. So if we know for a fact that he was terrified, so what are you telling me that she was mitpalelet, he shouldn't be afraid? She must have meant that the same way that a mora means by Shimshon that he'll be a nazir, I, as a mother who am asking for a child, I want to do the same for him, and therefore it's connected to the words prior, which are Vinetativ Lashem Koyeme Chayav. So I will bring him to the Lord. That means that he will be a Nazir. And Mora lo yala roshosh, she's dafka comparing him to Shimshon. Okay, so if that's the case, we now know what the machlokas is. Omar le Rav lechia bre. Rav was teaching his son, chatof uvarich. You should grab every opportunity to be the one who grabs the koshal bracha, who grabs brachas, be the one who's going to be mezamein. Never hesitate. Go directly and be the one, not the one who answers amen, be the one who says the bracha. Wait a minute. L'meimra de mevarech adif? You're telling me that the one who says the bracha is better than the one who says amen? But v'atanya, Rabbi Yossi omer gadol ha'oneh amen yoter min ha'mevarech. Doesn't Rabbi Yossi say that the one who says amen is even greater than the one who says the bracha? I'm telling you absolutely, I swear that's true. Because you could see that this is the way that the world works. What happens? Putin throws in 100,000 criminals and idiots who do all the jobs and get themselves mowed down. And in the end, they finally wear out the defenders. But who's the guy that's going to get the credit for the great victory? Wagner Group. And whoever's going to be on top, he's the one that's going to take all the credit. The guy who comes in at the end after everybody else is cannon fodder, he comes in and he's waving and they're taking pictures and so on. What the heck did he do? Okay, so that means that the one who comes in at the end is actually the one that gets all of the schar. And therefore, it's the same thing. So how can you say that it's better that you should be chatov? Says the Gemara, it's actually a machlokas tanoim. The Tanya echad emivarech, the echad ona amen are both included in the brachas that say gadlula shemiti unaramamashmo yachdov. But mimaharin l'mivarech techila, the one who says the bracha, he gets the first brachas, even though in the end they will be on the same madriga. Fine. Now, okay, we'll leave our closing, and I just want to say over to you something which I think is very fascinating, and that is the beautiful words over here about this Nekuda, who is better, of Reb Tzadok, because this is what in the world is the meaning of comparing this, first of all, to a war? I mean, like, what does it have to do with Yored LeMilchama? Midgarim b'milchama. We always use the word yordim l'milchama, right? So he explains that the concept of milchama, as we've spoken about so many times, is always the milchama with Amalek, b'dor dor. And this is whether it's internalized in your own heart, the fights that you have against your own failures and against your own yetzer hara and your own bad midas. All of these things are a yurida. Why are they a yurida? Because you cannot ignore them. You need to go down and face them. So you're going down. Whenever you're going into yourself, you're going down. And then there, you need to go to the place where the problems are in order to fight it. So how does one fight those kind of things? With the same inyan of La Shema or Atzum Lo'ah, when you recognize everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're Zeichetu Ha'aretz Latam Levnei Adam. So then you can get all of the things down on the ground. So therefore, that is basically the bracha, because that's where you're asserting. But when you're saying amen, so amen is your attempt to define that as your basal awareness. That's the idea. So once you've done the fight and you've been able to establish HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yichud, then when you say amen, then it's saying, Emunah, this is the way it is. And from now on, this is clear to me. From this point forward, I take the next step. Okay, so then that would mean that the guy that takes the credit is the guy that says the Amen at the end, because he's making whatever was achieved by the battle of a bracha, an assertion of Yichud Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, He says, yes, that's the way it is, and that's the way I appreciate it shall be forever. Okay, so then he's like the general taking the credit in the end for the poor guy that had to do the work of being mechaven in the bracha. That's how he explains the relationship to Muhammad. I just thought it was very, very, very sweet and very meaningful, because the idea that there's always two steps, there's the work that's done, and then there's the question of, okay, but how do I define that work as being lasting? How do I turn it into something that I can take with me and continue to grow? That is indeed, says Reb Tzadik, the Amen.